Mark Adams, and welcome to episode 8 of Mark's Mess Podcast, where, with my daughters Charlotte and Catherine.
Catherine and Charlotte.
Before somebody gets angry, you would not like me when I'm angry. We look at the world of geekery using the alphabet as a guide. This is episode 8, and it is the letter G. And we're going to use the letter G for green, as in green for danger.
Green for danger?
Well, Green for Danger was a movie during the Second World War, starring Alistair Sims. It was about some medical drama stuff, people dying and stuff like that.
Wait, can I act out?
No.
Please, medical
you, you've never seen the movie. It's a black and white movie. You two do not like black and white movies.
Oh, they're boring.
I know, nothing happens in them.
It's a brilliant.
Despicable Me is better.
If it was black and white, would you like it?
No.
Oh, you live it.
But it wouldn't be black and white.
You haven't had the joy of a rainy Saturday afternoon watching nothing but black and white movies.
We don't want to have
it's
that joy.
It's black, white. Yeah. Half the screen will be black, half of it will be white. And that's all we've been watching all day.
Anyway, we'll be looking at three things.
No halftime, it'll change.
Yeah, and we'll then at 3 o'clock, it's like, oh, it changed.
I remember when you used to listen to everything I said. We're going to be looking at three things. One about a comic book character. One about a bit of geekery culture that maybe you should know without actually watching the whole thing. And then after a break, we'll be looking at something a wee bit special. The first one is, do you remember when we recorded the promo for this?
No.
No.
Wait, is it the British one?
No. That was episode 2.
Oh, the future!
No, that was last episode, episode 7. The one where it was, Daddy, and you asked all silly questions.
No.
Yeah.
Do you remember the question
was
about...
That was ages ago.
Spider-Man ever married?
That was way after. That was way before all the other ones.
Yes, you usually have the promo before. Listeners, dear listeners, go and listen to that promo.
Where you can have what a promo means.
A promotional thingy. It's shorthand. It's an abbreviation. So one of the questions was, has the Hulk always been green?
Yes, because he ate broccoli.
No.
Yeah, it's spinach.
No. Yeah, it's green. Do you know how he became the Hulk?
Yes. Because he was a scientist and then a teenager was walking out in the middle of a gamma experiment and he went to save the teenager and teenager got saved, but he didn't get saved.
And do you know that teenager's name?
No.
Spider-Man! That would be hilarious!
That would be
Charlotte!
So cool. Not Charlotte. Charlotte's not a teenager yet.
And then Spider-Man, he went out to the... And then the person who was actually making the, spider... What do you call
him? Radioactive?
Radioactive. He was like, I don't know who.
The scientist.
Who would he be? Somebody.
So he was like, somebody. Like,
Mr.
Tony, Paul. Tony Stark.
Oh!
Tony Stark, and he was Tony Stark. And then the person who captured Tony Stark, he was like, they were
Doctor
working
Doom?
For Black Widow or something like that. That would be so cool.
Okay, the Marvel Universe according to Charlotte. But everyone my age know that Dr. David Banner, physician scientist searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths of all humans have, then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation alerts his body chemistry, and now when David Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs. The creature driven by rage and pursued by an investigator of the reporter. The creature is wanted for a murder he did not commit. David Banner is believed to be dead, and he must let the world think that he is dead, until he can find a way to control the raging spirit that dwells within him.
David Banner?
Well, during the 70s, there was a live-action TV program, The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
And they had, it was basically, that was the scenario. It wasn't Rick Jones going into the desert to save him. It was an accidental overdose. If you watch the beginning of The Incredible Hulk movie, it basically goes through that with some of the same looking machinery.
It's really rude.
Yeah, it is. David Banner was the name they chose for the alter ego of the Hulk, not Bruce Banner. Because
he's like the brother or something.
No.
That would be so cool if one of them was like blue, one of them was green, and then they had a sister that was red. and they had like a baby brother that was yellow. And then like, no, it would be so cool.
And then they had a dog that was purple.
Well, the TV people wanted to make the Hulk red.
Why?
Because it would look better on TV.
Why?
Yeah.
Because I'm not a TV person. I do not know.
Why?
Would a Red Hulk work?
No.
Well, it would tie in with the anger.
Yeah, it would tie in with the anger.
Oh, like anger of Inside Out.
Yes, because well, we talk about red anger. Are you in the toilet? Right, so back to the question, was the Hulk always green? The
no.
very first appearance of the Hulk, he was...
red!
No, he wasn't.
He was grey.
Grey. I will show you in the book Marvel Universe a picture of the Grey Hulk. If you look here, note this one.
Oh, he looks blue.
There.
He's like a bluey grey.
He's gray.
No, for the next issue, they made him green. If you look there,
it's more of like a pale green gray.
But they couldn't get a consistent gray for the whole comic. It does look a wee bit weird in this version. But there he is, Rick Jones, the teenager, out in the place where they were testing the gamma bomb. Bruce Banner takes him. He throws him into a safety trench. And here's the first transformation. He's talking away about something, but then there's a click, 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 click. Hey, look! You... Hey, look at you! You changed! Get out of my way, you insect!
Get it in.
What are the clicks?
The clicks are from a Geiger counter, and a Geiger counter counts radiation. And of course, what was Bruce Banner exposed to?
Gamma radiation.
Dun, dun, dun. It all fits in together. Anyway, so the very first issue of The Incredible Hulk, grey in the first one and green in the rest. Then it got cancelled because he wasn't that popular, because superhero comics were very popular, but monster comics were becoming less so. During the 50s, monster comics, western comics, and romance comics were very popular. That's why the Hulk, they thought the Hulk would work, because it basically is a monster comic. Well, he became a superhero. What team did he join?
The Avengers.
The Bananas.
No, the Avengers, Catherine. The Bananas are a completely different
the
team.
The Vegetables.
The Vegetables. He was Captain Broccoli. No, he was joined the Avengers, and he left at the end of number two. Yeah, it was
number
that.
Two.
But later on, a writer called Peter David got to be writing The Incredible Hulk. He was really in sales. He wasn't really a writer. And the Hulk comic was starting to go downhill. Sales were really bad, so they thought, well, we'll give it to him. He wants to have a go. We'll let him have a go. And they let him do anything he wanted. At the time, Rick Jones had just become the Hulk. And Bruce Banner was cured of it. And they said, do whatever you like. Keep Rick Jones. Make Bruce Banner the Hulk again. So he brought up... Rick Jones is that guy.
The teenager.
And he became basically a sidekick to superheroes. He was sidekick to Captain Marvel,
like
Captain America, the Hulk, for
what
a long time. Rick Jones. He didn't have any superpower. It was a long time, in fact, maybe about 10 years ago, that he got superpowers.
How was he a sidekick then?
Because he went, I want to be your sidekick. Please, please, go on. Let me be your sidekick. Go on. Okay, wear this brightly colored costume and stand in front of me. Anyway, so Peter David, he wrote another Hulk. He wrote the Grey Hulk again. Now, the Grey Hulk was different from the Green Hulk. The Green Hulk would have had a mind of a child. So he would, Hulk smash, Hulk do this,
I
Hulk
do that.
Well, the Grey Hulk was very popular. He was sort of the crafty or sleek it guy, if you know what sleek it means.
No.
Like sly.
Sly and crafty. It's an Ulster Scots
like a fox.
Word. We're teaching people all around the world a bit of Ulster Scots.
Like a fox.
No, more crafty. Like a fox
like a
going
snake.
For a chicken. Yeah, like a snake. But he was mean and nasty. He didn't want to get on his bad side. He wasn't as strong as the Green Hulk, but he was a lot more crafty. So he won by using his brains and his brawn a lot more times.
Oh, I know what he could do. Get his beard out of his head and then show it to everybody and run away.
So the Hulk would have been grey if they could get a constant grey, a consistent grey in their colourings. Instead, they went for green. It is, how do you make green?
Add
blue and yellow.
Blue and yellow, okay. There was a Red Hulk. In fact, there still is a Red Hulk.
Oh.
Who's
not
it?
In Hulk. Smash or Smash Agents, something like that.
Agents of Smash.
Yes, that's it.
Yes, which is a really daft name. Puts me off it. We don't get it here, but
we used to.
Granny and Grandad have it because they've got Sky. So we sometimes watch it there, but I'm not that keen on it. Also, Rick Jones is on it, but he's a superhero A-bomb. Basically, Abomination. So he got a blast of gamma radiation somehow. I must read up on how that worked. But that answers your question. Is the Hulk always green?
Is it?
I just answered the question.
Yeah. No. Wait. Maybe.
His very first appearance, what colour was he?
Rainbow!
He was... very first appearance, what colour was he?
Grey.
Yeah.
Why was he pink? Somebody make a pink one.
A pink Hulk?
Yeah.
Is that not just human?
Oh, like a big
Is that not just human coloured?
Yeah.
No, like a bright pink.
A
like
bright pink.
Like hot pink.
And then it's a girl. And then it's got like eyelashes and lipstick and all.
Basically like a Barbie Hulk.
Yeah!
Hi, I'm Hot Pink Hulk.
You're turning pink.
Yeah, you're turning pink.
Oh, I want to see that. I want to see Hot
I'll
Pink
draw
Hulk.
You one. I will.
Now, the next bit of geekiness with G on green is quite often there are geek things that you need to know to understand
like
in jokes. You need to know about when Bruce Banner is angry, he turns into the Hulk.
And the
right?
Hulk, when the Hulk's not angry, he turns into the person.
Yeah.
And when Bruce Banner is actually Bruce Banner, then he goes fishing.
And if you go 88 miles an hour, you travel back to the future. One of the things you should know is Soylent Green.
It sounds like you're saying silent in a weird accent.
Soylent.
Soylent. Oh, Soylent there.
Soylent Green.
It was
Soylent.
Soylent Green was a movie in 1973 starring Charlton Heston, who was a big movie star at the time. It was directed by Richard Fleischer, who did Conan the Destroyer, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Dr. Dolittle, the musical version.
What's Dr. Dolittle?
It's about the man who can talk to animals. If I could talk to the animals, walk to the animals.
Isn't that man sometimes in the cartoons, the Avengers cartoons, where he can like turn two animals and squash them together and make one animal?
Oh, that's not Avengers, that is...
I can't remember.
Oh, he's in Brave and the Bold. Batman, Brave and the Bold, the weird guy who puts two animals together. No, nothing to do with that. He's not a superhero. He's just it's a children's story about a man who can speak to animals and has lots of adventures.
Like Adventure Time.
You've been watching Adventure Time. Yeah. What do you think of it?
It's good.
What? Who's your favorite character?
The Bubblegum Princess.
Of course, it's because she.
Or
Phoebe. What color is she?
Pink.
Hot pink. Charlotte, you do not like
it.
Oh, and I like I think it's Bebo or something. Because okay. He's cute. He's just like a little.
Last time we were at Belfast Comic Con, we bumped into some young people that I knew I work with, and they
I
were
had
dressed
no
up.
No clue who they were.
Yes, I was. They were dressed up as Adventure Time
and
people.
And you were dressed up as Mark from Mark's Mess Podcast.
Available every month.
Okay. On Twitter with like the tea.
Soylent Green was based on a book by Harry Harrison, and it was a book called Make Room, Make Room, but the book itself didn't feature Soylent Green. Harry Harrison, if you ever get to read him, is really good. I like him a lot. It's real Pulp Fiction type stuff, but he writes stainless steel rat books, and it's about a future thief, and they're iBooks, first person books. In other words, they're books that I call them iBooks because I went here, I went there, I stole this.
You're the main character.
You're reading from the main character's point
like
of view.
It's like a diary.
Yeah, I suppose that would be right, yeah. A bit
not,
like a diary.
Not like where you're in second person or third person, but you're like...
First person. Yes, it's first person.
Yeah, I don't get that.
What, first person, second person, third person?
Yeah.
First person is I went here, I went there. Second person is...
Bird's eye.
Bird's eye. What? We're going to have to look this up and find out. It's important to know if you're going to write a story, what your perspective is.
But in school we were writing a story, but we had to do a diary, so that was
That'd be first person, iBooks.
I like writing iBooks.
So do I. And mine was like 2.5 pages long.
The movie Soylent Green, just in case you're wondering what we're actually talking about at this moment, it's about overpopulation in the year 2020. Where they have the New York City. That's 4 years from now. New York City has 40 million people crowded into housing, is dilapidated and very overcrowded. People are dying all the time. Homeless people fill the streets and the majority are unemployed. And a few lucky people with jobs can barely scrape by. And the food and technology are very scarce. Most of the people survive on rations produced by the Soylent Corporation, whose newest product is Soylent Green, a green wafer advertised as high-energy plankton from the world ocean, where a more nutritious and palatable than the predecessors, which are Soylent Red and Soylent Yellow. Throughout the movie, there's a detective played by Charlton Heston, who plays Detective Frank Thorne, and he is solving a murder or something like that. But the big mystery is, what is the secret of Soylent Green? What do you think the mystery of the secret of Soylent Green would be?
Makes you like super strong or gives you like a power or something, but it affects everybody differently.
Oh, that would be really good. That's a good one.
It's made out of vegetables, and then you turn into a vegetable. Turn into a green vegetable.
So we're back to the Hulk.
Yeah, you like start turning green and getting different superpowers, but it does affect everybody differently.
And then...
So like you could have just your hand green or something.
Right. I have seen this movie once and I do not want to see it again because I thought it was quite boring. So, spoilers ahead for a 40-year-old, over 43-year-old movie. Do you want to know what Soylent Green, the secret is?
Mm-hmm. Wait, I think I know what it is. They all turn into vegetables and they all turn into cartoons. Like a cartoon broccoli just waddling
along. No more TV for you for a while. Okay. The detective finds out that people go for euthanasia.
You were?
Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
It's where they voluntarily die.
Oh.
Where they're fed up with life or they're maybe too ill to live on and they kill themselves.
So basically they can't be bothered to live so they just die.
And they go, yep, and they go to special centres to do that. Guess what they do with the bodies?
What? Turn them green in it.
Soylent Green is people! So Soylent Green is people. That's the last thing that the main character says in the movie. Soylent Green is people. Tell the people. I don't know what they were going to do about it, but...
Just chuck them all down the toilet.
But what are you going to eat then? Go back to Soylent Red? Nobody wants that.
What sort of red are we out of then?
I know, boogies.
We'll be Soylent Yellow.
Oh, imagine Soylent, imagine Soylent Brown.
Chocolate! Oh.
Yeah, we'll go with chocolate. Yeah, sure. So far we've discovered it's not easy being green. We discovered the Hulk was not always green, and Soylent Green is
Kermit.
Not something... It's not easy being green. Kermit sang that.
Oh, no, it was... Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Right, so after the break, we'll come back and we'll look at actual colouring in comic books. Why greens and reds and blues and yellows... Well, we're going to talk about that afterwards. Why that's the main colours of superheroes, and look at some superheroes and their colourings, and figure it out. So, do you want to say see you later to the folks?
See you later, alligator.
Goodbye, people of the world. And I hope you don't turn into green broccolis and green other vegetables.
Don't eat Soylent Green or Soylent Red or Soylent Yellow or Soylent Brown.
Oh, what's Soylent Yellow?
Or don't eat any green food except from sweets.
No, the green sweets are disgusting, apart from like apple flavoured ones. Lime flavoured sweets are just a waste.
The Starburst ones are nice.
No, the Starburst ones are disgusting.
They're nice!
They're disgusting!
Okay,
nice.
Folks, while they discuss
disgusting.
The food,
nice.
We'll go
disgusting.
On and we'll see
nice.
You after
disgusting.
This break.
Nice!
Disgusting.
Nice!
Disgusting.
Nice!
Disgusting.
Nice!
The Fantasticast is your guide to the Fantastic Four from the beginning of the Marvel Age of Comics in 1961 onwards.
Each week, Steve Lacy and Andy Leyland cover every issue, spin-off, guest appearance and cameo, and more.
And in 2015, we begin our journey through the decade that Taste forgot, the 1970s.
Join us as we take a look at...
the departure of Jack Kirby and Stan Lee.
The Kree-Skrull War.
The arrival of Marvel Team-Up.
Bill Murray as the Human Torch.
Creators including Roy Thomas, George Perez, Marv Wolfman, Jerry Conway, Rich Buckler and John Byrne.
And of course, Marvel 2-in-1.
All this and more at ffcast.libsyn.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.
The Fantastic Cast.
Insert catchy tagline here. Wait, what?
My name is Michael Bailey.
And I'm Jeffrey Taylor.
And we host a podcast called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast.
Presented by the Superman homepage. On the show... Wait.
What?
This just isn't working out for me. It's not bombastic enough. We need something epic.
Like what?
Welcome to From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast, presented by the Superman homepage. I am Jeffrey Taylor.
And I am Michael Bailey.
From Crisis to Crisis chronicles the adventures of Superman.
Wait. I'm just not feeling this.
I'm just wondering how there's a needle scratching sound when all of this is clearly digital.
Look, all we need to say is that this is a trailer for a show called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast presented by the Superman homepage. My name is Michael Bailey.
I'm Jeffrey Taylor.
And every week we give in-depth synopsis and reviews for just about every Superman book published between Man of Steel number 1 in 1986
and Adventures of Superman number 649 in 2006. We also talk about the related Superman media, what was happening in the rest of the world when these comics were published, and what else was going on in the DC Universe.
The show drops every Thursday-ish at the Superman homepage, which is located at www.supermanhomepage.com.
From Crisis to Crisis is also a proud member of the Superman Podcast Network, located at www.supermanpodcastnetwork.com.
So join Jeffrey and I each week as we explore Superman during the post-crisis era, which includes Exile, Panic in the Sky, Doomsday, The Marriage, and beyond.
And write into the show at FromCrisisToCrisis@gmail.com and hear it read on the air. Eventually, because we get behind on that sort of thing.
Superman created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Side effects from Crisis to Crisis include loss of money from buying back issues, a desire to read 20-year-old comic books, nausea, drowsiness, pizza, blurred vision, upset stomach, a desire to kick puppies and kittens, and backache from lifting boxes of Superman comics. If the excitement of From Crisis to Crisis lasts more than 4 hours, seek immediate medical attention.
And we're back, and you would have heard one of the trailers for the Fantastic Cast. They've reached 200 episodes. Can you imagine us ever getting to 200 episodes?
How many have we done?
We've done too many. No, this is episode 8 of Mark's Mess podcast, but we've also had, what was the last one? Mark's Mess versus Atlantis Attacks.
Catherine's comic cover commentary, no, and Charlotte's superhero superpower. Catherine, I am talking.
Don't speak over people. Yeah, okay. Well, you say it then about yours. She'll say about hers.
I can't remember what it is.
Then let her speak. Right, let's start again. I am not going to start again. I'm going to stop the next time.
I haven't done anything. Neither
I know. I know you haven't.
You have.
Oh my hair! Oh my hair! And we're back, and you would have heard during the break one of the promos for the Fantastic Cast. The Fantastic Cast look at the Fantastic Four from the very beginning until, well, whenever they stopped doing it. But they have now reached their 200th episode.
How many episodes have we done?
Well, this is episode 8, but we also had Mark's Mess versus Atlantis Attacks, which you two came on, and Catherine did the...
Catherine's comic book commentary.
And Charlotte did the...
Charlotte's superhero superpowers.
And before that, there was one I did all by myself, Mark's Mess versus Evolutionary War. And also there's a John Adams...
Letters to the Front.
About my grandfather and your great-grandfather during the First World War. So, you can find all those... Well, we'll tell you near the end where you can find them all. But
I
anyway.
Reckon we've got 100 between them all.
No, I think the John Adams has got 2 years worth, so 24. The Atlantis Attacks was 15. 24 plus 15. This is where you're allowed to speak.
39.
What?
39.
Sorry.
39, yeah. And we did 12 with the Revolutionary War.
51.
And we've got 8 on this one.
59
so far. But well done to Fantasticast on their 200. Well done, Stephen and Andrew.
How many years have they been going?
That's a good question. I don't really know. It seems just...
Forever.
They've been there. Also, for the 200th episode, they asked for questions. I put in a question from us, but I also said about Charlotte saying, where's my fiver? And Catherine asking, who on earth are the Fantastic Four?
And they didn't answer my question.
I don't think you're going to get one, but I don't think they would. But Stephen Lacey did an impersonation of girls.
No, correction, a very bad impersonation.
Charlotte wasn't too impressed. What did you think, Catherine?
It's funny.
It was funny. So thank you very much, Stephen and Andrew, and all the best for your next 200 episodes.
How many do they do a month then, if they got 200? If you figure out how many they've done a month, then you could figure out how many years they've done.
Well, they do one a week.
One a week?
One a week. They've maybe missed one or two weeks.
So they've done 50 a year.
So they've done about 4 years.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about colouring. Colouring in the comic is quite unusual. In the early days of comics back in the 1930s and 40s, and even up to the early 1960s, they had three colours.
Red, yellow, and blue.
Well, four colours.
Red, yellow, black, and blue. Red, yellow, green, and blue.
Cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. And they use dots to represent the colours. If you look very closely at an old comic, it will be lots of dots. I remember this from old Beano's.
Oh, like so-and-so the artist.
Yes.
Can't remember his name.
Like so-and-so the artist that I can't remember the name either.
I've done that in school where we've done it with our finger and just dipped it in paint and ended lots of different colour.
And the more dots you have, the deeper the colour and the less dots. So you had 25%, 50% and 100% in dots.
100% would be black then.
So, well, it would be a full-on colour. So if you were looking for skin, maybe that would be 25% of a colour.
If you were
looking
for like the sun, that would be 100% maybe.
Well, you mix up the colours as well. Mm-hmm. And you'd end up with a palette of 64 colours. It may seem a lot, but when you're trying to get a whole lot of things done, it's not a lot. And early superheroes would have been in primary colours. What are the primary colours?
Red, yellow, blue.
I said red, blue and a yellow.
Yeah, that's okay. It's still right. Okay, because I know you did that. And here is pictures of some superheroes and in the color chart. So red, you have green. People like Superman. What are his main colors?
Red and blue.
Right, so all these ones at the top of the main colors are red and blue.
But Wonder Woman's more of a mixture.
Yeah, but more of a yellow. So red, blue and yellow, which are the primary colors. Okay,
Thor's mainly blue and red. Spider-Man's blue and red. Captain America's blue, red and white.
He is red, white and blue. That's the way the Americans say it. That's the way they like it. Then you go on to people like Iron Man and The Flash and even...
Fireman Sam.
Even the Human Torch would be red and yellow, main colours.
And what do you call them? Mr. Elastic? Mr.
That is...
And Robin.
I can't remember what he's called.
that is Plastic Man.
That's it.
Plastic?
And then Shazam Man.
Shazam Man. Captain
Robin
Marvel.
And...
Spider-Woman.
Okay. There's nothing like Spider-Man.
And Robin.
For the blue and yellow... main colours of superheroes. You have the X-Men.
They're all
Buckethead.
You've got Buckethead, who is Nova.
Buckethead.
You have Power Man.
That's
Luke Cage.
Stupid name.
He goes by Luke Cage now.
It's like, oh, I am Power Man.
Booster Gold.
Oh, yeah, the film of himself first.
Yes.
From the future.
He is really cool. I do like Booster Gold.
Then I said Banana Man.
Dr. Spectre. Banana Man would be blue and yellow as well. Primary colours.
He looks like Banana Man.
Yeah.
Would he be like Narwhal?
Yes. Narwhal from Almost Naked Animals. She is right. He has got the personality of Narwhal. Narwhal is all about self-promotion and so is Booster Gold. Booster Gold will always be there. When the photograph's taken. Okay, if you were... Can you think of any...
Who's the last one?
Oh, that is Thanos. I don't know why he's in that list. Can you think of any superheroes that are green?
Green Lantern.
Green Lantern. Man. Green Lantern is the one I'm thinking of.
Robin.
The very first Green Lantern, Alan Scott, was in the 1940s. What color was his outfit?
Green and black.
You would think green and black.
Red.
Blue.
It is indeed red. Here is a picture of the Alan Scott
Green Lantern. It's got some green in it.
It has got green, but the main color that you see is red.
Red. Yeah.
So when you see a superhero, they're usually in primary colors. Because green is not a primary color, it is a
secondary color.
That's right.
What is a secondary color?
What are the secondary colors?
When you mix two primary colors together, and then a tertiary color is when you mix two secondary colors together.
Well, the secondary colors are orange, purple, and green. What colors are the Hulk?
Green and purple.
Green skin. Well, we're talking about the main Hulk that we think of, the Green Hulk. And he always wore purple trousers. So can you think of any other secondary colour superheroes?
I know!
Any orange superheroes?
I know! Princess Bubblegum!
Pink!
I know, the thing!
That's not a secondary colour.
And purple!
The thing's orange.
The thing is orange, yes. So the colours were, they had 64 colours to use, and then it doubled in the 1960s and 70s. So
128.
To 128. And now you get very elaborate colorings in comics.
You get like 1,000 or something.
You get things that are works of art. Truly works of art. I think we miss something in comics with that because it sort of more muddies the colors. I like my primary colors. I like my sharp colors. But it's also not very realistic. And I appreciate it needing to come into more of that. I like Spider-Man in red and blue.
Mm-hmm.
I like my Superman in
red and blue and a bit of yellow.
Red and blue and yellow, not in very muddy red, blue and yellow.
Unless he's been in a mud fight.
Unless he's been in a mud fight in Superman 3. Oh, it's a classic. It's a classic. Anyway, there's a scene in Superman 3 where Superman fights himself. He basically has some bad kryptonite. You know how it is. You know, you get a bit of bad kryptonite.
No.
And you have to keep on going. And he sort of splits off from himself.
So basically something evil is inside him and he tries to fight it?
Yes, Clark Kent sort of splits off from him and he fights himself. Great moment at the very end.
Which
where
one
he,
wins?
He, well, Superman wins. Where he rips open, as Clark Kent beats the other Superman who disappears and he rips open his shirt to reveal the S and the Superman music.
Da, 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 da.
And you know da, you're in da, for a da, good da. Time with Superman.
Da, 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 da.
Is that the one?
Da, da, da.
Is that the one where in the Batman game, if you're Superman, then the music comes on when you fly?
In Lego Batman 2, yes, that is happens. Anyway, if you would like to comment on your favourite green superhero or any other G's, you can get in touch with us by email.
MyMarksMess@gmail.com.
On Twitter.
@MarksMessPodcast with a T.
On our webpage, MarksMessPodcasts.blogspot.com. And we've had quite a few people coming to see us there, as well as visit us on Twitter and also on our Facebook page.
Mark's Mess Podcasts.
And thanks to Josh Woodward of joshwoodward.com for the title music. Thank you for listening, and as we all put our backpacks over our shoulders and walk down that lonesome road, we all say
goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.